I'm Dave Scott. I'm pastor of Crossway Community Church, and I want to welcome you. Crossway is a church simply committed to making disciples. We meet at 1501 Woodbury Road. It's off of Colonial and Fort Wayne in East Orlando. Come check us out. I look forward to meeting you.
David is, in a moment here, is going to lead us through a time of looking at John 18 this morning. And so I just wanted to read it for you. It's kind of a long passage, and I think you can follow along if you can read that. Put your glasses on. So it's John 18, verses 1 through 27. Now, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often went there with his disciples. So Judas, having procured a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" And they answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." So Jesus said to them, "Well, I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. And when Jesus said this to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. So he asked them again, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus answered, "I told you, I am he. So if you seek me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "Of those whom he gave me, I have lost not one." Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath, and shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" So the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. First they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the court of the high priest. But Peter stood outside of the door, so that the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the servant girl who kept watch at the door and brought Peter in. The servant girl at the door said to Peter, "You also are not one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I'm not." Now the servants and the officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. So Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. And Jesus answered him, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple where all Jews come together, and I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. They know what I said." When he had said these things, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand, saying, "Is this how you answer the high priest?" And Jesus answered him, "If what I said is wrong, bear witness about the wrong. But if what I said is right, why do you strike me?" Annas then sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. So they said to him, "You also are not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter again denied it, and at once a rooster crowed.
Thank you, Mike. Okay, so, good morning. How are you today? Good. Okay, so, my name is David. For those who don't know me, I came from Cuba last year. Here I am. So yes, I have this chance, this privilege to be here with this beautiful church. thanks to Pastor Dave, he gave me the chance. And now I have something to share with you here in God's Word. So I hope God talks to your life. Amen. So just going as we read, we saw the things that Jesus has to suffer in his last moments. He suffered, he was betrayed, he was persecuted, and he was denied. So just seeing all these things together, we can see that it was not an easy moment for him. Even when he knew that all those things were going to happen, it was hard. It was painful. So just watching one of them, we can see that he was betrayed. Who betrayed Jesus? Judas. So now we can see that Judas was one of the disciples. So Judas, he already knew Jesus. That's the reason the Bible says that he knew the place where Jesus was meeting with the disciples. Because Judas knew Jesus. Judas was walking with Jesus every day. Judas was hearing his teachings every day. Judas was living with Jesus, eating with Jesus, walking with Jesus. But there is a question. What makes Judas to turn from a disciple to a traitor? Someone so close to Jesus turned to be a disciple to a traitor. So first that we are going to see is that it was a prophecy. It was already written. So what is telling us that it was in God's purpose, in God's plans. Because nothing goes out of God's control. Nothing. So we can see in the Psalm 41:9, and there are some others, but just to give you an idea, that it was a prophecy about Judas, how he was going to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew that. But the second one is that he loved money more than Jesus. So the first one, it was a prophecy, so it's out of his control. It's just God's control. But what about this one? There are things in our life that are out of our control because they are God's purpose, God's plans, and he always do his will. He always does his will. He's God. But there are things that we can control and we can see. Of course, with Judas, and even this was supposed to happen. So he loved money more than Jesus. So in Matthew 26, 14 to 16, we can see that he went to the priest, to the leaders, and he offered him to deliver Jesus to them if they give them something. Give me whatever. So what they offered him? 30 pieces of silver. Can you read that? I don't know, it's too small. some not. Okay. So 30 pieces of silver was the price of a slave. So when you go to Exodus 21:32, you will see that the price of a slave was 30 pieces of silver. So what is telling us that once that you betray, that they, he betrayed Jesus, he became a slave of the money. So 30 pieces is equal to 30 shekels of silver. It's a currency in that time. 120 denarii, please help me with the English. Sorry for my English, so I'm still learning. That is equal nowadays to $25. That's funny, no? $25? I guess that in that time, $25 was a lot of money. Because nowadays, $25, what we can do with $25 nowadays? McDonald's meal? just a meal. Not too much, really. Because the problem is not the amount of money. The problem is the love for the money. So for someone that is a multimillionaire, maybe $1 million is not a lot of money. But for us, $1 million is a lot of money. Well, at least for me. Maybe for someone, $1,000 is not a lot of money. But for other people, $1,000 is a lot of money. Maybe for someone, $20 is not money. But maybe for another person, $20 is all what they need in that moment. So the problem is not the amount of money. The problem is that when you love the money, that's what you want. The problem is when you fall in love, you fall in love with the money. So in Matthew 6:24, we can see the Bible is very clear according to the money. And he's comparing the money with a God, which is a God. Mammon, I don't know in English, how do you say the word? Mammon? Mammon? Oh, how? Mammon, okay, Mammon. That was the name for the Greeks. So, it says that when you serve this God, Mammon, you cannot serve our God. Because or you serve our God, you cannot serve this one. Because it's telling us that when you love one of them, you will hate the other one. There is not middle term. You cannot be in the middle. You cannot choose, okay, I neither this and neither this. One of this. Once that you love this, you will hate the other one. When you love, your love is for the money, you will hate God. Even when you don't say it, because you don't say, I hate you, God. But your decisions can tell you that. Money first. Or if you love God, you will hate. It does hate the money. It doesn't mean that you won't want money. We need the money. But I'm talking about the love for the money. And talking just craving the money. So it's a very difficult for us as humans because we need the money. God knows that. And actually, God is the one who provides the money in our life. No? So it's difficult to find the balance. But the Bible is very clear. So make a slave of the money, you cannot serve God. So in 1 Timothy 6:10, we can see it says that the love for money is the root of all kind of evils. So it says that for this reason, craving this demonic, they have wandered away from the faith. So we can see it in Judas. Craving the money can stray you away from the faith. It can turn you away from Jesus. So the problem here is not maybe we say, okay, no, we don't have that problem. That's good. That's perfect. But maybe Judas thought that he didn't have that problem either. So Judas, why? Because Judas was the treasure man, the one who had the money. So he was dealing with the money every day. So nobody falls in love in just 1 second. You can fall in love with someone when you spend time with that person. When you spend time with the person. So money is worse than any other desire that we have. That's the reason he says that it's the root of all kinds of evil. So it's easier to fall in love with money than with a woman, a man. Because this is something that you have to deal with every day. But once that you get involved and you spend more time and you take more of your time, and you little by little just scroll Jesus down, okay, just go there, let me, I'm making more money, so okay, I don't have time for this, I don't have time for praying, I don't have time because I need this time to make more money. That's the point that we are loving more the money than Jesus. And this is the first step to betray Jesus. I'm not telling you that we betray. No, we are here. That's by God's mercy. But Judas was a disciple. He knew Jesus. He walked with Jesus in the way that we cannot imagine because he saw him. He touched him. He was with him, listening all the time. Not just 30 minutes, 1 hour that you can spend with Jesus one day. No, the 24 hours. And he turned away from him. So the word is always telling us things that we need to keep in order to not to fall through, not to fall in. Do you know what I mean? So because money is very, it could be very dangerous in your relation with God. It doesn't mean, remember, that we don't need it and we don't use it. But it's our slave, not we the slave of the money. You know what I mean? So here also we can see that Jesus not just was betrayed by Judas. He also was persecuted by who? He was persecuted by the soldiers and the Romans, the leaders, Jewish leaders in that time. But also here we can see the same, that it was a prophecy. There was a prophecy about this. So even their persecution and the arrest, the death of Jesus was already a prophecy. So, what is telling us that God is on control? God is on control. So, Jesus was persecuted and arrested by the Romans and the religious leaders in that time. In John 18, in verse 3, it says that Judas was there with the soldiers, the officer from the chief priest, and the Pharisees, which they were the religious leader in that time. And also in the verse 12, it says that they went there all together and they arrested Jesus and bound him. So here we can see how they gathered together to go for Jesus. The Romans, that they were the Gentiles, it represents the war, and the religious leaders. Okay, let's go together, and Judas, to arrest Jesus. And then they got him in order to stop what God was doing. Why? Because Jesus was a threat for the religious leader and for the Roman Empire. Even when Jesus was born, they wanted to kill him. Even when he didn't do anything, because he was the Messiah, that's enough for them. They wanted to kill him because he was a threat. So we Christians, we are a threat for this world. We are a threat for the religion. And what are they going to try to do? Arrest you. Destroy what God is doing in your life. So the word in James 4, chapter 4, verse 4, is telling us something very clear. That the friendship, to be a friend of this world, makes you an enemy of God. So the Bible is very clear with this. So the ones that want to be a friend of this world will be an enemy of God. Or if you are friend of God, you will be enemy for this world. So they will try to arrest you. They will try to kill your faith. They will try to take away what God is doing in your life. Because you are a threat for them. So there is no friendship between the Christianity, real Christian, and this world. Sometimes we want things changed. And that's good. But it doesn't mean that we have to work together with this world. And sometimes we want Christian governors. It's good. Sometimes we want that a lot of laws change in favor of the church, which is good. But the Bible is telling us that this world is not friend. So you know what was the worst moment for the church? When Constantine, thank you, make legal the church. Town. The church was alive before. People were hidden, but a lot of people and his faith was genuine. Genuine. They were not, okay, if I have to die, I die. You know what happened? You know, many people, when they were in the stadiums, and they were killing the Christian, they became Christian in the stadiums. The people that were shouting, kill them and throw the lions and all the things, sometimes they ended crying. Because many Christians, when they gathered together and they sing psalms when they were being wrapped by the lions. Can you imagine you with your family just holding your kids and come a lion and take your boy? And you keep singing, I worship you, God. I love you. Of course, the Holy Spirit was with them for that. We have a measure for everything. God gave them the measure of a faith for that moment. He will give it to us if we need to pass on through. But these people, they were really Christian. But when the Constantine came, he said, okay, no more persecution for the church. Now we are going to be friends of the church. So we're going to give you power. You want power? That was the same that Satan offered to Jesus. And he denied it. And the church said, okay, give me power. And then the church became corrupted. More and more and more. Because tried to be friend of the church. And then the church became religion. So religious and war, they will work together to arrest Jesus. So here in the Matthew, in the next, in Matthew 23, from 1 to 36, I won't read all that for sure, is telling us how Jesus was he was telling to the Pharisees why they were so religious. They were so religious that they couldn't see. They couldn't understand. They lost the real meaning of the law in that time. So we can see in the verse 23 that he told to the Pharisees, okay, you do. In this one, he's just talking about the tithe, but in the others before, you can read it at home. It's Matthew 23 from 1 to 36. He was like telling all the religion that they have. And then he was telling, okay, all these things are more important to you than what really matters. So you neglected, he was telling, you neglected the waiter, what really matters of the law. But he's telling, okay, you didn't need to stop doing this. You can do it, but you can just stay what it real, what give you sense, give sense to everything that you are doing. Even God, you say in the word that when sometimes, who was the one who gave the feast to the youth? God. He told them, he was the one who told them to celebrate everything. All the feast was given by God. And there was a moment in the Bible that said, I hate your feast. Because they were not focused. They were focused on their religion, but not in what matters. So the other thread in our life is when we turn religious people. Sometimes we don't know, and we are so religious that we forgot what really matters. Sometimes we are more worried of the ways that we do the things, the ways that we know the things, than their people that needs to understand these things. So the problem with the religion is that the religion tries to show you appearance, but know what is really inside. So the Bible is telling us that there are things more important, but there are things more important, and that is the love that we have between us. And that's something that I thank God because you have it here. I tell you, I'm coming from another country. I'm coming from Cuba, from different church, different people. I didn't expect it. You here. We got surprised. Me, my family, and that's something that I love here. I stay here. This was in the beginning. I told to Dave. Dave, I want to help you, whatever we can do, but I won't be able to stay in your church because she doesn't speak English. And she was the one that wanted to stay here. Me too, no, but she was very happy because the love that you have, that's something. Don't lose it, please. Don't give up. Don't let it go away. Don't make religion your faith. Just transform the religion with your faith. Amen? And thank you. Thank you. God is good. So he was betrayed. He was He was persecuted and arrested by the war and the religious people. But he also was denied by one of his disciples. So according to this, we can see that it always was a prophecy. Again, we go to the same point. Even when Peter denied Jesus, it was a prophecy that Jesus told him to Peter. We can see here in Matthew 26, 34. So there is nothing out of God's control. Remember that. Always. So it says that in John 18, 15, it says that Peter followed Jesus. We know that Peter followed Jesus. Actually, Peter was one of the closest disciples that Jesus had. There are some places that Jesus was just there with two or three disciples, and Peter always was there. Peter, John, and Jacob. So Peter was one of the closest disciples. He was following Jesus. Actually, when he was here, when he was going to be arrested, what Peter did? Okay, Peter, oh, no. And he cut off the ear of the servant of the priest. But Jesus have to tell him, okay, Peter, take it easy. This is not the way. So he was so deep with this that you can see that Peter was the disciple that always tried to do something extra. He messed it up sometimes. But he was trying to be more, to closer to Jesus. I want to do your will. And that's the reason sometimes he said, okay, no, don't wash my feet. Okay, no, if I don't wash it, you don't have part in my kingdom. Okay. Wash my feet, my head too. And when Jesus said, no, I'm going to be delivered to the Gentiles and the... No, Lord. No, we are here. It won't happen to you. And he said, go away from me, Satan. Because Peter was trying to, in his feelings, humanity, to, okay, Jesus, we are going. Even when Jesus told him that he will deny him three times, he said, no way. We will die for you if there is need to do. And all the disciples said, yes, we will die all together. Is not the same Peter the one that is now denying? So he says in verse 16, that Peter stood outside of the door. When they arrested Jesus, they took them to the courtyard of the high priest. And then Peter has to make a choice, a decision. This was the time to say, okay, Jesus, I follow you, but this is the courtyard of the high priest. If I go with you, it won't be very good for me, maybe. I'm not sure. But if I don't go with you and you stay here, I won't mess with the Jewish people. I just need to be here, like in the middle. You there, the Jewish there, and me here. So he just stood outside. But there was another disciple that told to the lady in the door to call Peter inside. So there was a moment to do something. So the lady asked him, are you one of the disciples? It's in the 17th. And he said, no, I'm not. Because if he say yes, he knows that he will go to with Jesus and he will be suffering then. But when he said yeah, no, okay, so now we have something for you. Come here, there is a fire. It's a cold night, so you can warm up here in the fire. So always, to deny Jesus, there will be a trade. So Peter had to choose between suffering with Jesus or receiving a benefit from people. In this case, the benefit was to be warm. With that question, it was a simple question. He knew that he had to give an answer. So when he said no, he got the benefit. So to deny Jesus, there will always be a trade. So we need to be careful. Because some things come to our life in trade, and we don't realize. Sometimes these things come to our life, and we have to quick to some principles that we have in Jesus. And that's a way to deny him. So he has to choose between receiving the benefit of people or suffering for Jesus. In John 18:25, it says that Peter was standing and warming himself. So now, after that, one of the servants that were there asked them again for a second time, "You also are not one of these of his disciples, are you?" And the Bible says that he denied and said, "I am not," for the second time. So in this second time, Peter had to choose between suffering with Jesus or keeping the benefits, which is different. So once that you get it, you don't have the benefit, and you want the benefit, you don't know how it will be. But once that you have the benefit, it's like you can feel comfortable. It's even worse. Sometimes when you sin, you feel bad. That's good. You feel bad. But when you keep doing the same, you will feel so comfortable that you won't see Jesus suffering. You just see the fire. I'm warm here. This is what I want. But it's the sin that involved you, that took you there. So Jesus, now Peter have to choose between suffering with Jesus or keeping this benefit. He knew if he said yes, okay, no more warm place for you. Now go with Jesus and you will suffer with him. So, okay, now that I taste it, now that I know how it's it, it's better to keep it. No, I don't know this guy. But he also, one more time, there was one relative of the person that he caught his ear there and saw him and told him, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Huh? Wow, this is even worse. Because it's not just because if I say yes, I will go with Jesus, but they also will judge me because I cut off the ear of a soldier or servant. So there are two things now going on. So they judged him. They told him could you go to the next, please? For something that he did. So Peter denied what he did, so he denied Jesus. It was not just about the suffering with Jesus. It's also that he did something wrong. If I admitted that he did something wrong, I would be in problem. And sometimes it's happened to us. Sometimes there are things in our life that are wrong, and we prefer not to admit it because it could be get in trouble, or it could be affect my, religious status or something. But when you say not that something you did, you are also denying Jesus. So if we deny who we are, there is a risk to deny Jesus. Saying that we are sinners is not bad. That's what we are. God knows that. And even though he loves us. The Bible says that if we say that we have no sin, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So who we are, this is what we are. So we just say to God, of course, you don't have to tell everybody that you commit this sin. Oh, no, I just did this. No, no. You go with God and just tell him, this is who I am. But I want to be you. I want you to change this into you. I want you to change my life. But the first step is to acknowledge it. Because if we say, no, I am not, we are denying. So, if we have the same problem with a brother, we committed sin against a brother, we go to the brother. Don't be afraid to do it. Brother, sister, sorry. I did this against you. I feel bad. I just want to apologize with you and you forgive me. Because that's the way that we are accepting and receiving Jesus in our life. That's the way that Jesus is changing our life. Amen? And that's the reason that Peter denied the third time. He didn't want to recognize that he did something in the garden. He was with Jesus, and also he caught the ear of the soldier. So now to finish, we can see that everything was written. Jesus was betrayed. Jesus was persecuted. And Jesus was denied. And everything was written. Even our failures, they have control of it. He knows everything about us. He knows us better than ourselves. And he loved us. Judas was the disciple that betrayed Jesus. He was betrayed and he strayed away from him. He decided, okay, the Bible says that there will be people like that. Jesus was persecuted by the war and the religious people, and they rejected him. And always they will do it because the Bible says that they are enemies. But what about Peter? We are Peter. Peter denied Jesus, but he repented. And after that, was Jesus, what God did through Peter was awesome. Peter was chosen by God to do, we are here because God used one of the disciples was Peter. I'm not worshiping Peter, nothing like that. just God, it was his purpose. He was working on Peter, even when he committed some mistakes. So what the Bible is telling us here, that even all those things that happened to him, he didn't... he didn't stop. He didn't give up. He just died for all those people that betray him, the ones that persecute him, and for Peter that deny him. For all of them. That's our God. He's always giving us a chance. He doesn't want us to be like Judas. He doesn't want that we persecute his faith as religious leaders or this world does. But he doesn't want that we deny him. But even if we do, he just wants us to repent and he's ready to forgive. this is the God all we have. Is not awesome God? He is. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today and listening to this message from Crossway Community Church. Once again, we meet at 10:45 on Sunday mornings at 1501 Woodbury Road, which is just off Colonial and 408 in East Orlando. Come check us out. I'll see you then.